Welcome, fellow explorers. My name is Christian Alexanderson, and this is Hemlocks to Hellbenders, a podcast highlighting Pennsylvania's parks, forests, and great outdoors. Every time you go for a hike, hire a rafting guide, purchase a fishing license, or rent a cabin, you are participating in outdoor recreation, an industry that brings $14 billion annually to Pennsylvania's economy. But outdoor recreation is more than the things you buy or the activities you participate in. It's an industry that includes national, state, and local government agencies. It includes businesses, nonprofits, communities, volunteers, hobbyists, and much more. It's an industry that's growing, and one that's finally receiving some much-needed attention. In Pennsylvania, one man has been working to bring together, expand, diversify, and support the outdoor recreation community. He's traveled the Commonwealth and met with hundreds to find out what the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources can do to help the millions of people that participate in, support, and make money from the outdoor recreation industry. And he's here to talk to us. I'm excited to welcome Nathan Regner to the podcast. Nathan is Pennsylvania's first Director of Outdoor Recreation, a role he's served in since January of 2021. Nathan, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Christian. Happy to be here.
What do you do as Pennsylvania's Director of Outdoor Recreation?
Well, the tagline is that, simply put, my job is to expand and ensure the benefits of outdoor recreation for all Pennsylvanians. Pennsylvanians as individuals, as communities in a commonwealth. And that has the heart of it, that statement has the heart of it in there, that my job is about delivering the benefits of outdoor recreation to Pennsylvanians, to people's lives and to people's communities. And now, how do we do that? Well, we go about that with connection and collaboration, trying to connect the dots between recreation users and outdoor businesses, between communities and state agencies, and even between state agencies themselves. So it's a job of coordination. It's a job of communication. It's a job of strategy and synergy.
Speaking of coordinating, you know, you do your work for DCNR, but you really serve as a conduit for dealing with other agencies that can involve anything from infrastructure and health to economic development and everything else. How do you kind of work in those different fields and get everyone connected to coordinate efforts on one goal?
That's absolutely right. It's sort of, I am Pennsylvania's Director of Outdoor Recreation, brought to you by the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. That's one way to think about it. And we make those connections by highlighting the connections that are inherent in outdoor recreation. In some ways the recreation system begins with natural resources and recreation resources, with forests and rivers, mountains and valleys, wildlife and fish, with the trails and the access points, the information, the facilities associated with them. And those are, you know, here in the Commonwealth, managed by Commonwealth agencies like DCNR, by the commissions, Game Commission, Fish and Boat Commission, by our federal partners and the U.S. Forest Service, National Park Service, Army Corps of Engineers, at the local level as well. But that's really sort of it is the wellspring or the rootstock from which the tree of outdoor recreation grows. And from there, you know, we recognize that we need gear and clothing and equipment, which requires designers and manufacturers and distributors and retailers. We need guides and outfitters. You know, we need ski areas and mountain lodges. We need content producers. We need volunteer trail maintainers and citizen scientists. And we need our local and county and state government to weigh in on this as well. We do the work by beginning with the understanding that there's more to outdoor recreation than simply the resources themselves or even the activities of outdoor recreation. It takes an ecosystem. It takes an ecosystem of government, of industry, of non-government to come together.
You listed a ton of stakeholders. How can you possibly put your arms around that many agencies and volunteers and businesses? How difficult is it to get all those people together and try to work something out for outdoor recreation?
Fortunately, I've got pretty long arms.
Perfect.
How do we do it? Well, we do it by finding points of connection and points of common ground. And that's, you know, that's kind of a piece of cake a little bit when it comes to outdoor recreation. You know, when I was interviewing for this position, when it was first created, I am Pennsylvania's first director of outdoor recreation. And when I was interviewing for this position, there were lots of questions asked about, you know, how do you reconcile different recreational users? How do you, you know, the proverbial is, how do you get the, you know, the hiker and the motorized recreationist? How do you get the cross country skier and the snowmobiler? How do you get the hunter and the bird watcher to gather around the same idea and advance the same cause? And my response to that is, well, we recognize that we're all doing these things. We're all engaging in these activities for the same reasons. We're engaging in them for the reasons of quality time with friends and family, learning and discovery, challenge and accomplishment, escape from daily life, being a member of a community of recreationists. And if we understand that those motivations are in fact common among all of us, that every member of a community wants the community to be healthy. Every member of a community wants children and old folks and neighbors and friends to have opportunities to get outside and enjoy time together. Then I find it's pretty easy to find common ground around which we can gather.
It sounds like mutual respect is really important, that no activity is more important or better than another activity. When you're going into these meetings and you're talking to these stakeholders and somebody says, well, I really care about horse riding trails. And then somebody else says, well, I really care about bird watching or I care about hunting. There has to be some semblance on your part of saying all those things are great and we're all going to work together because you have to.
100%. And that's, I think, when we, you know, when we talk, when we talk or think about a landscape scale or a societal scale of managing an outdoor recreation system, then diversity has to be one of the criteria for success or quality. I know that there's some ways that I like to recreate that other people don't. And just as I wish that they value my choices and interests, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to value the choices and interests of others as well. And hey, Pennsylvania is a large state. Pennsylvania is a diverse state, and we are clever. Certainly, we can find a way to satisfy all of our demands together. Now, there's a little bit of a math problem in there. There are some technical considerations of ecology, of economy, of administration, of culture. But if we're creative, if we're flexible, if we value and care about our neighbors, then I'm convinced we can find a way to all get what we need out of our commonwealth.
In April, you wrapped up a statewide tour where you met with hundreds of stakeholders like local governments, nonprofits, business owners, volunteers, and a lot more. What was the purpose of the tour and what'd you learn?
The purpose of the tour was to share the ideas that we've been cooking up related to an Office of Outdoor Recreation for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Share those ideas with recreation stakeholders from a broad diversity of sectors of our society and gather feedback. Are we on the right track? What did we miss? How does this resonate with your particular community? That was one big purpose of the meeting. Another big purpose of those meetings were to gather together stakeholders. You know, very seldom are there opportunities for business and government, non-government, for the conservation sector, the tourism sector, the economic development sector, the healthcare sector, the education sector, et cetera, to all get in the room and talk about shared interests. And we wanted to provide that venue for people. And we found a great deal of support and a great deal of hunger and a great deal of calls to do it again when we were together. So those were our purposes, to share our ideas about an office of outdoor recreation, which I'd love the opportunity to talk about more in the podcast here, and to gather the tribe together, so to speak. And what did we learn? Well, we learned that there's a great deal of commonality throughout the Commonwealth and different. So there were some messages. There were some messages about grassroots and co-produced, community-informed planning and development, as opposed to sort of top-down kinds of solutions. And we heard a call for that in Philadelphia and in Warren and in Williamsport. You know, our largest city, one of our smallest rural communities, and, you know, a very mid-sized gateway community in Williamsport. So we heard similar things in very different parts of the state. We also heard different things in different parts of the state. You know, some parts of the state were very interested in land use and development, in zoning and property values and taxes. Other areas of the state, we heard a lot from guides and outfitters about permitting and regulatory issues. And in other areas of the states, we heard about tourists coming from away and what it's like when you've got that weekend influx of folks in the summertime. So we learned that Pennsylvania is simultaneously one and many.
How does what you learn impact everyday Pennsylvanians that love the outdoors?
Well, returning to this Pennsylvania is simultaneously one and many theme, it can impact, you know, I think any recreating Pennsylvanian can know that they're a member of a community, know that we have a Commonwealth full of people who love the outdoors, for whom our natural resources and the way they connect to our communities are absolutely vital to the quality of their daily lives. You know, one of the statistics that I like out of Pennsylvania's statewide comprehensive outdoor recreation plan is that 93% of Pennsylvanians participate in outdoor recreation every year.
Oh, wow.
That's virtually everyone. and so that's, you know, that's something Pennsylvania can take heart in, the fact that they are, that a Pennsylvanian who loves the outdoors, they're part of a movement, they're part of a community, and there's strength in those numbers.
And I think with any outdoor recreationist, you have to just see so much passion. There's people, if you're involved in the outdoors, you either care about your particular activity or the overall environment or how things are changing. I mean, you're going to have really strong opinions. I'm sure you saw a lot of that on your tour.
Well, yeah, outdoor recreation is incredibly meaningful for us as individuals. And here's where outdoor recreation has a strong tie with the arts. They're both activities that we pursue to get to the higher levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, to become our best selves. And oftentimes, sometimes we do these activities by ourselves. You know, I was out for a bike ride by myself yesterday doing some reflection on life. But oftentimes we do them with others. And I think part of the reason we do them with others is that we're able to create our best selves together. And in doing so, create our best communities. And so, you know, we've got survival, air, water, food. We've got security, and we've got community membership, and we've got status. And then we've got realizing who we actually are and allowing ourselves to blossom, allowing ourselves to grow and develop, allowing ourselves to dream and realize those dreams. And I think that outdoor recreation is a space, is a way that we can bring that into our lives very concretely, and consequently and consequently, it brings all of the passion of our lives along with it. And I, you know, there's very few sectors of our economy or industries that are that closely connected and driven by passion.
Well, let's go from the spiritual side to the business side.
Mm-hmm.
What is the relationship between outdoor recreation and economic development?
Hey, enough warm and fuzzy. Let's talk about cold hard cash. We can do that. I like to say that outdoor recreation is Pennsylvania's $14 billion secret. The U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis is a bureau in the U.S. Department of Commerce that's charged with tracking, with creating statistics on industrial productivity in the United States. The U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis in 2018 began tracking outdoor recreation as an industry, as a composite industry made up of all of the other industries in our economy: manufacturing, retail, transportation, utilities, professional services, tourism and hospitality, government services, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's this set of data from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis that tells us in 2021, 1.6% of Pennsylvania's gross domestic product was created by participation in outdoor recreation. And that's that $14 billion. Now, U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis statistics, they're a special kind of economic statistics, and one that I think is particularly well-suited for driving policy and making decisions. And I think it's particularly well-suited for those purposes, as opposed to more advocacy or industry-related economic statistics. Because the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis doesn't take as the unit of analysis a particular industry. It takes the unit of analysis as Pennsylvania's economy. So Pennsylvania has an economy as a whole. And what the Bureau of Economic Analysis does is divide that economy up into slices attributable to particular industries. And it is in that framing where outdoor recreation contributes 1.6% of Pennsylvania's gross domestic product. Now that's in, we can look at that, we can look at that contribution to our GDP in comparison to some other industries. It's about the same size as the utilities industry in the Commonwealth.
Wow.
It's larger than the contribution to our gross domestic product of mining, quarrying, oil, and gas extraction combined. It's four times, outdoor recreation contributes four times as much to our gross domestic product as agriculture, forestry, commercial hunting, and commercial fishing combined. I am not making a bigger is better argument for you here. What I am asking you to do is join me in a thought experiment. Think about how much time we spend talking about oil and gas extraction, how much public discourse, how much civic activism, how much industrial advocacy is devoted to oil and gas extraction. Think about how many structures we have inside of government and outside of government dedicated to agriculture and lifting up agribusiness. The way we talk about community economies based around agriculture. Now think about what outdoor recreation could be doing for us in the Commonwealth if we talked about it as much as we talk about oil and gas extraction. If we supported it the way we support agriculture, think about what it could be doing for our public health. Think about what it could be doing for attracting and retaining young Pennsylvanians and new businesses and entrepreneurs to the Commonwealth. Think about what it could be doing for climate resistance and green infrastructure if we treated it that way. And this is okay. Pennsylvania's Director of Outdoor Recreation, of course, is going to be a booster for this industry and is going to call for greater advocacy, call for a greater level of public support for this industry. But it's not me who's talking about outdoor recreation in this way. It's the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis, like the ultimate bureaucrats, collecting statistics on industries all across the United States that are making this point.
You threw out that big number, $14 billion to the economy in Pennsylvania. What kind of potential do we have for growth here, then?
Well, it's embedded in this comment of, you know, we think of outdoor recreation as a nice Saturday afternoon with our friends and family in the kayak, on the trail, hunting with a buddy, fishing with a relative. And outdoor recreation is that. It is definitely that. It is also an industry. It is also a sector of our economy. It is also a pathway toward public health and mechanism for climate resilience. And I think if we can start organizing the outdoor industry, we can start developing our outdoor workforce, if we can start steering policy and funding from the federal level to Pennsylvania communities, if we can bulk up our capacity in Pennsylvania communities to take advantage of that funding and policy, I think there's a lot of room for the economic impacts of outdoor recreation to grow in Pennsylvania. Just over the past 10 years, the productivity, the economic productivity of outdoor recreation in the Commonwealth has increased by 17%. So if you were making $100 off of outdoor recreation in 2013, you're making $117 off of outdoor recreation in 2023. That is a growth rate that's competitive with any other industry. And in fact, when we look across the country, we see the contribution, the gross domestic product of outdoor recreation increasing more rapidly than the general increase in gross domestic products. And so this highlights the outdoor sector as a high growth sector. And that's largely in response to the kind of attention being given to it by entities like the Office of Outdoor Recreation that we're establishing here in the Commonwealth.
Well, let's get right into it. This year, you plan to propose the creation of the state's first Office of Outdoor Recreation. What would be the purpose? What's the goal?
Yes, yeah, we are. This has been a longstanding goal for the past several years, and Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, under the leadership of Secretary Dunn, took a big step in accomplishing this goal and making it happen by establishing a Director of Outdoor Recreation back at the beginning of 2022. And since then, we've pulled together a statewide group of stakeholders called the Recreation Engagement Coalition that has active leadership from Department of Community and Economic Development, Department of Health in there, Pennsylvania Environmental Council, Pennsylvania Park and Forest Foundation, Pennsylvania Economic Development Association, and others. And this group really has been leading the vision to figure out what our Office of Outdoor Recreation ought to look like. And what it ought to look like is a small, highly collaborative group within government, cutting across state departments, whose mission is to unite, grow, and strengthen Pennsylvania's outdoor economy. And we'll do this by focusing our work across five pillars: the pillars of community and economic development, conservation and stewardship, knowledge, professionalism, and capacity building, health and well-being, and equity and inclusion. And in working across those pillars, we've got three strategic priorities in sight. The first of those strategic priorities is to build the capacity of our outdoor industry. Our outdoor industry are the providers of goods and services that facilitate outdoor recreation. And yes, they include businesses, and businesses may make up the lion's share of the outdoor industry, but it also includes nonprofit partners and government as well. And to build our outdoor industry capacity, we need to organize the outdoor industry. The outdoor industry needs to talk with one voice. if we were to put the owner of a small engine shop that sells ATVs together with the operator of a bed and breakfast along the Great Allegheny Passage and an Instagram influencer based out of Philadelphia and a bike shop from Scranton, if we were to put those four people in a room, we want them to look at each other and say, hey, I know what we have in common. We're all members of the outdoor industry. So we got to help the outdoor industry organize, coalesce, become one so it can speak with one voice and advocate for itself, like every other industry does. We've got to organize our outdoor workforce and develop our outdoor workforce, help everyone understand that jobs in the outdoors aren't just for kids. They're not just summer jobs or for a couple of years after college, but they are jobs in engineering and planning and accounting and the law and creative services, as well as jobs outside, working with recreationists, building trails, running ski areas, etc. We also need to build on-ramps into the outdoor workforce for the leaders we're going to need 20, 30 years from now. You know, the kinds of leaders in the outdoors we're going to need 20, 30 years from now are different than the kinds of leaders we need now. And we got to make sure that those leaders are able to start their careers and learn and progress successfully. We need to more effectively communicate the outdoors. We need to more effectively communicate the outdoors to attract tourists to the state. We need to more effectively communicate the outdoors within government to inform policy and advocate for support for this industry. And we need to more effectively communicate about the outdoors as a pathway toward economic development and community well-being. So that's the first strategic priority area, organizing the outdoor industry. The second strategic priority area is, you can think of it as like the pitch and the catch, or the top-down and bottom-up combination. So there is ever more, there's an unprecedented level of funding and policy coming out of Washington, D.C., to support the development of outdoor recreation opportunities, participation in outdoor recreation, and the use of outdoor recreation as a community and economic development tool. Believe it or not, not all funding and policy coming out of Washington, D.C. is tuned or calibrated or directed in ways that is relevant to us in the Commonwealth and our communities. So we need to get active in that national conversation and steer the policy and funding toward us in ways that reflects our needs. You know, not just, and here I'm editorializing a little bit, not just in ways that reflect the needs of Western states, of states with growing population, of states with large blocks of federal lands. At the same time as we're steering that policy and funding toward us in ways that are relevant for our communities, we got to go to the gym. We got to bulk up. We got to strengthen our capacity to harvest that funding and to use that policy. How many of our communities, you know, have a one-person planning shop? How many of our counties are like already completely taxed, just trying to make the trains run on time and don't have the capacity to put their great ideas and harness their energy into grant application and management, partnership, coalition building, et cetera. So we got to bulk up our local capacity to take advantage of federal and state funding opportunities. That's our strategic priority number two. And strategic priority number three is the humanity of it all. If we've talked about the industry, if we've talked about economic development, well, what about the lives of Pennsylvanians? We know that while 93% of Pennsylvanians participate in outdoor recreation every year, there's an incredible imbalance. There are incredible exclusivities and inequities in the way Pennsylvanians engage with the outdoors. And we're talking about rural, urban, we're talking about race and ethnicity, we're talking about physical, cognitive, and sensory abilities. We're talking about people and institutions, whether they be clinical institutions or correctional institutions, not every Pennsylvanian is able to or feels welcome or is welcome in all of our outdoor spaces. And that's wrong. And we've got to get every Pennsylvanian able to be in the outdoors in any way they choose. And we got to do that for today. And we've got to do it for tomorrow.
I think the last point is really poignant, because we went from the big idea to the smaller idea to the even smaller idea about focusing really on communities. What sort of benefit does outdoor recreation have on a community?
It's got a number, you know, and I often talk about economics first. And I think I think it's because we've done a good job. We've done a good job realizing the role that the outdoors and green spaces play as green infrastructure. We've created green spaces for stormwater management, for habitat connectivity, for air and water purification. We are planting more and more trees and creating more and more green spaces in our urban centers, because we know that on a hot day in the summertime, a city block with green space is 20 degrees cooler than a city block without green space. That means that on a city block with green space that's 80 degrees in the summertime, it's going to be 100 degrees on a block without green space. Now, I can survive 80 degrees. I can survive 80 degrees even without air conditioning. I cannot survive 80 degrees with, or I cannot survive 100 degrees without air conditioning. And it's our blocks without trees that are also our blocks without air conditioning.
And it's weeks and weeks in a row. It's not like, oh, it's just one day. It's just this constant feel of just being roasted alive.
Absolutely. And so that's something that we've felt in our communities, and that's tied to public health. And we know that there's nothing more expensive in this world than keeping Americans healthy. Our healthcare system is the most expensive system in the world. And we spend more on healthcare than on any other civilian aspect of our society. And we know that we can reduce those healthcare costs. We can prevent people from getting sick, and we can cure people once they're sick by getting them outside. And so, like, some of these more warm and fuzzy aspects of outdoor recreation and the way it impacts our communities, we know those already. What we're finding out now is the way it impacts our communities economically. So we can talk about how quality of life is now the number two factor that's considered by industrial and corporate site selectors in America. First factor is low wages. Second factor is quality of life. And quality of life is a combination of outdoor recreation, of cultural and arts programs, and of contemporary cultural services. We can talk about how outdoor recreation, access to trails and parks, is one of the top three criteria for homeowners when selecting where they're going to build or purchase a house. We can talk about how outdoor recreation is outdoor recreation is strongly associated, period, with rising populations in small and medium-sized rural and industrial towns, and with rising employment rates in small and medium-sized rural and industrial towns. And this is in contrast to high-quality business environments, which are strongly associated with reductions in populations in small and medium-sized rural and industrial towns. And I know when I talk to people, when I talk to policymakers here in Harrisburg, the big picture challenge, the big picture demographic challenge that the Commonwealth is facing is an old population, a shrinking population, and a population marked by out-migration. And if we're talking about economic development at the community level, I think easy access, forget what your director of outdoor recreation thinks. The data tells us that easy access to high quality outdoor recreation preservation of cultural heritage, particularly downtown architecture, and filling those downtown spaces with contemporary cultural services like breweries and cafes, art galleries, festivals, specialty retail, these sorts of businesses are far more highly associated with increasing population levels, increasing employment than tax relief, regulatory relief, low wages, low prevailing real estate costs. So that is how I see outdoor recreation impacting communities with our climate resilience, with the health of our people, and most importantly, with the rejuvenation of our communities.
I think it's really interesting because I feel like there's been decades of the warm and fuzzy. This is good for your health. This is good for your mental health. It looks pretty. And then when you kind of come over the top with this information, it becomes undeniable. When you start saying, this is how much money we're bringing into the state. This is why people want to move here. This is why people don't want to live here. I think that sort of information changes minds. I would assume that's what you're seeing when you went on this tour.
Absolutely. And it's not just what we heard. It is definitely what we heard from our stakeholders while we were out and about. But it's not just what we're hearing from our stakeholders. It's what we're seeing written more and more frequently into county economic development plans, into regional coordinating plans. And it's what we're seeing in the governor's budget proposal with his proposal that the Commonwealth invest in outdoor infrastructure and invest in an Office of Outdoor Recreation in the Commonwealth.
Are there certain activities that you think show a lot of potential for growth in Pennsylvania, or do you think it's kind of across the board?
I want to go back to some of my earlier comments. And well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I didn't share this story with you. Usually I start off when I'm talking about outdoor recreation, I start off with a story. I started off with a story about these scientists who were up in the Boundary Waters canoe area in Minnesota back in the 60s, trying to understand what is this outdoor recreation phenomenon? How does it work? And they would talk to these anglers and ask them how their day of fishing was. And the anglers would say, we had a great day of fishing. And then the scientists would say, but I noticed you didn't catch any fish. And the anglers would say, okay, well, whatever. But we got up early and we saw the sunrise. And there were these eagles that kept flying over the head. And I had heavy stuff on my heart. And I spent the day in the boat with my buddy. And we talked it over and it's all good now. I had a great day of fishing. And so the root of this story is that there's more to fishing than catching fish. And I think that's a symbol for the fact that there's more to outdoor recreation than the activities themselves. So you ask, are there particular activities that I see great potential in? And it's not that I want to reject the premise of your question. It's that I want us to focus not on the activities, but on what they do for us, and how we connect those activities to our communities. It's really easy to think about outdoor recreation happening out there. Got to get in the car and go to the wild area. Got to do it on a Saturday afternoon. And I think the greatest potential for growth with outdoor recreation in the Commonwealth is realizing that we don't need to go out there to do it just on the weekends. But we can be doing it right here, right now in our communities. We can make development choices that facilitate walking and biking. We can lay out our green spaces first and then develop around them. We can commit to connecting our communities to trails. You know, here's something I've heard regularly when I've been out talking with folks around the state, particularly in river towns. We got a lot of river towns here in the Commonwealth. And all of our river towns, they all say the same thing. They all say, we used to turn our backs on the river. We were scared of it because it flooded us and we dumped in it. We sent our sewage there. We sent our industrial waste there. We sent it down the river. And consequently, we never thought of it as an asset. Now, we've cleaned up our rivers, and we want them to be the front porches for our communities. We want them to be the welcome mat for our communities. We want them to be the places where we gather with our neighbors and that attract visitors to our spaces. And I think that change in mindset from having turned our backs on our rivers to wanting the rivers to be our welcome mats. I think that's the kind of change. That's the kind of potential we can use outdoor recreation to lead in our Commonwealth.
Has your time as director of outdoor recreation changed how you enjoy the outdoors?
I now understand that when I'm recreating for all Pennsylvanians. I don't just choose to do the things that I like. I don't just choose to go to the places that I know. I have a newly rekindled interest in outdoor recreation, in diversifying the activities that I engage in trying to find joy and connection in the activities that other people engage in. And I think in there is the heart and soul of outdoor recreation, the way it connects us to other people, the way it expands our world.
Exploration.
Absolutely. And the discovery and the wonder that comes along with it.
Are there other states' models for outdoor recreation that you think we could or should implement here? Somebody else do it better?
No, nobody else does it better than the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Are you kidding me, Christian? What kind of questions are that? I do think that there are ways that we can improve, and I do think that looking at other states is a great way to do that. So I look at Michigan, and I look at the way Michigan sees itself as, you know, as one of the cradles of innovation and one of the cradles of manufacturing in the country. And we know the role that they've played in the motor industry over the years. Michigan's Office of Outdoor Recreation is leading initiatives to leverage Michigan's history of innovation and manufacturing from the auto industry into the outdoor recreation space with a focus on electrification, with a focus on how do we develop electric ATVs? How do we develop electric snowmobiles? How do we develop electric bikes? How do we develop electric motorcycles? And how do we develop trail systems that are best suited for these electric vehicles? And if we're going to put charging infrastructure in, how do we use that charging infrastructure to deliver a greater suite of public goods and to gather data and monitor our recreation so we can do even better in the future? So there's a model from Michigan. I look at New Mexico. New Mexico had the first in the country outdoor equity fund, a fund designed to incentivize and incubate minority-owned businesses, businesses that are owned by or serve previously underserved communities. And so I think, how can we target underserved communities with minority-owned businesses in the outdoor space here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? I look at how North Carolina has organized the gear manufacturers of Western North Carolina into a regional business advocate and hub for manufacturing. I look at Colorado and how Colorado has set about a program of purposefully attracting outdoor businesses to their state. To grow that sector of their economy. I look at how Washington State has been focusing on equity and access through their Office of Outdoor Recreation. So yeah, there are models out there, and one of the great things about the outdoor community is that the state offices and the directors of outdoor recreation across the country work collaboratively through structures like Confluence of States and the Outdoor Recreation Learning Network. It really is a community that believes that a rising tide floats all boats. And hey, I want to tell you, we see that in our partnership with Maryland. Maryland created an Office of Outdoor Recreation and hired a director of outdoor recreation just about 6 months before Pennsylvania really picked up its project to create an Office of Outdoor Recreation. And Maryland has been a great state border, a cross-state border colleague for us.
What do you see as the future of outdoor recreation?
It's very bright. If your listeners had video right now, they could see me putting on my sunglasses. It's so bright. I think, you know, we can look back on some phases of outdoor recreation. We can look back on the early conservation movement back at the end of the 19th century and the way that was a response to resource depletion and the closing of the at least the Euro-American frontier. We can look back on the CCC era and the way that the United States turned to outdoor recreation, to conservation, to the development of our state and national park system, really as a way to leverage our natural resources, to spur economic development and give people jobs. We can look at the boomer and backpacking boom era of the 50s through the 70s. And as the country healed from the Depression and our experience during World War II, Pennsylvania families and American families and American youth turned to the outdoors for solace and to build a brighter family life for themselves. And I think we're now in a new era in which we see all of those components coming together, an appreciation for the role that natural resources can play in our economic development, the need to lean into this space to address our ecological concerns, the way we are appreciating the public health challenges of chronic disease and, you know, nature deficit that we're having, and particularly the way we're understanding structural racism, disinvestment in our communities, and the outdoors has a role to play in solving or addressing all of those problems. And so I see a much more integrated future for the outdoors, a much more integrated future at the policy level where I work, a much more integrated future at the sort of the community, county, municipal, administrative level, and a much more integrated future in our lives with more and more people turning to the outdoors as a part of, you know, as part of their daily and weekly routine, so to speak.
What can listeners of this podcast do to become better stewards of outdoor recreation?
Take a friend with you when you're going out. Show somebody the love that you have for these activities and these spaces, and treat them with love when you're doing so. You know, I think one of the greatest fallacies and one of the greatest disservices that the outdoor community has done for itself over the years is taking too much pride in being hardcore, in taking too much pride in needing the exact gear, in being engaged in a one-upsmanship, in, you know, buying into that like rugged individualism ethos. Yeah, okay, you need some minimal amounts of equipment for safety. And, you know, many of us do enjoy the challenge and feeling of accomplishment that comes along with these activities. But it doesn't have to be that way. And it certainly doesn't have to be that way with anybody who doesn't want it to be that way. It is as long as you're doing your best to be sensitive to the ecological resources, to be sensitive to other users, and to be sensitive to yourself, you're recreating the right way. And so bring that spirit of inclusivity, of welcomeness to all of your recreational pursuits, and we'll be able to do this thing together.
Nathan, I really appreciate you coming to talk to us.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. It was a pleasure talking with you.
I want to thank my guest, Nathan Regner, for joining the podcast. Be sure to visit our website and follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more information about upcoming episodes. This has been Hemlocks to Hellbenders. I'll see you out there. Hosting, production, and editing by Christian Alexanderson. Music by John Sauer. Graphics by Uncle Traveling Matt's Random Expedition.